What's up? What's up, beautiful people all over the world? And thank you so much for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine on your number one underground station, MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. I'm your girl, Dre Mauve, and you can catch me on the gram at 305_Brownie.
What's good? This is George, 305 Magazine, and if you need to find me on social media, it's 305 Magazine on everything social media. It's at 305 Magazine. And today, we have, for episode, God knows what episode we're on today, we have a legend, not one, but two legends.
DJ Raw, welcome back.
DJ Raw, welcome back, sir.
Hey, what's going on?
Thank you for coming back on the show, sir. And then the next person is Brother Marquise. Marquise, your brother of 2 Live Crew.
Right, of 2 Live Crew, yes.
Man, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
We've had so many people reaching out to us because of your presence. So we got a lot of listeners out there that are anxiously waiting to hear your story.
305 Miami, I'm with it. So
yeah.
That's what's up.
Show me a lot of love around here, so I'm giving it back.
That is what's up. That is what's up. So, real quick, man, for those that don't understand how huge this is, at least for me, man, fuck this, I'll be honest.
I'm trying to contain myself.
I've been listening to 2 Live Crew since I was a jit. Most people in my neighborhood didn't know what a chick and a thong was until 2 Live Crew came out. Let's be real. Most people didn't know what the pack jam was, didn't know what a booty shaking
was. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. My parents did not approve. I had to, like, steal tapes and stuff from my older brother.
I had to steal tapes, go in the basement, go outside and listen to it. And my albums got thrown away. I got a beating. I got
grounded. Oh, yes. I went through all of that.
And I mean, like, the historic part about having you here isn't just that, you know, you were such an intricate part of our upbringing here in Miami, but because of 2 Live Crew, because of you being part of that group,
right?
We got explicit lyrics, stickers all over music. I don't know anyone else has been to the Supreme Court.
Yes, we went all the way to the Supreme Court, and we won that case on censorship to the First Amendment, right?
And I mean, like, you're so historic, you know. Granted, R.I.P. Fresh Kid Ice.
Yes.
He didn't, you know.
Miss him every day.
Oh, man.
Rest in peace, Chinaman.
And you know, Luke isn't part of the 2 Live Crew anymore, or anything like that. But at the end of the day, the one thing you can never take away from what you've done is exactly that, what you've done as a group.
Yeah.
You guys have put Miami on the map.
Right.
Like it or not, Miami was put on the map at that point in time by 2 Live Crew.
Yes.
There's no way around it.
Yes, for rap music.
Yes.
For rap music, definitely. For rap music.
And I mean, I'm glad you're here, because, man, I want to pick your mind.
Glad to be here.
I want to find out what's going on in your head.
I'm all yours, Miami.
That is what's up. So, let's start off with something real simple. Music history. People might not realize this. Jay-Z has a song, 99 Problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Right.
Rick Rubin produced it.
Yes.
Nine, he's super fresh, but who did it first?
Me.
Did it? Tell me a little bit about that track, man. Not a lot of people know that you came up with 99 Problems, but a bitch ain't one first with Ice-T. Shout out to Ice-T if you're listening.
Right, yeah.
Ice-T called everybody out on that, too.
Hell yeah.
Say what, Ice-T, what? He did what?
That he called everybody out on that.
Yeah.
I mean, so tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, Ice is quick to tell people that he got the song from me, you know. And that's when me and Ice were friends. We were good friends back then. I was living in Southern California, and I met Ice. Some guys had picked me up. I'm walking around L.A., and some car just pulls up and picks me up, and they took me with him, and that's how me and Ice became friends. So I just, you know, I was hanging out with Ice, and I just probably inadvertently just came out with the phrase, I got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one. And Ice was like, yo, gotta make a record. That's just my thing. I'm keeping that one. And so eventually we did make the record. But, you know, I got it from a guy that's like right over there in Overtown. So I got it from a guy named Gigolo. He used to be around, just hang around all in the streets back in the day. So, you know, gambling and doing what we do, talking about shit. And I got it from him, you know?
That is what's up, man. Now, a little bit about 2 Live Crew, man. When you started, How is music, like, what got you into music at that point in time?
I made my first record in Southern California. Some say that I probably had one of the first rap 12 inches out in California. I think before Dr. Dre and the Wrecking Crew, and probably before Ice-T, but it didn't get a lot of notoriety. Me and Rodney O. I made my first record in the ninth grade, my second one when I was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And after that, man, I came down here, and the rest is history. I mean, I wasn't doing that type of material back then, because you know what style of music that was out back then, but became a Two Live Crew and got with Luke. Luke befriended Mr. Mix, and I think they came down to do a couple of shows before I got in the group, but I'd like to give shots out to Mr. Mix. He always kept his word with me. He's like, if I ever get a shot or a chance, I'm gonna put you in a group with me, and that's what he did.
Oh, shout out to Mr. Mix.
Yeah, so, and he did that, and we came down with Luke. Him and Luke were good friends, and at that time, Luke was a promoter as well as a DJ, and I think one of the records had Luke Skywalker. I think Beatbox had Luke Skywalker, I Got the Force. So Luke used to play the 12-inch because it was his name, and the record got hot. And Luke sent for him in California, and they came down to do a couple of shows. And, you know, one thing led to another. They ended up moving out here once they got done with the Air Force. And I was tagging along with Mr. Mix. And for a minute, I went back to New York, upstate New York, where I'm originally from, and Mr. Mix called me. I'll never forget, it's dead winter. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mix called me like, yo, I'm in Miami, I want you to come, got you a ticket, and I'm like, phew.
Shout out to Mr. Mix.
I'm upstate New York, Rochester, where it gets like real, real cold. Sure. And I was like, yeah, let's go to Miami.
Shoot, I haven't left. No, that's dope, man. How'd you, when you finally got into a Two Live Crew, you know, you were the first group doing this kind of content.
Yeah.
You know, you must have gotten a lot of mixed reviews.
Yes and no, but in the beginning it was cool. In the beginning it was cool. To me, everything just started happening after Me So Horny. You know, after that album, Nasty As We Want To Be, came out, that's when all hell broke loose as far as with, you know, the local officials and everybody around here and with the local establishment. Then that shit just took off all over the country and all over the world.
Sure, because I know Just Coolin' didn't have that kind of effect on people.
That's right. That's right. And I wasn't doing that kind of rap until I came to Miami and we started hanging out with Luke.
So Miami inspired you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What was the kind of rap you were doing back then?
Well, you know, we were just doing a regular rap. It didn't have any sexual connotations in it, anything talking about women. We just rapping, you know, just b-boying, basically, you know, and no cuss words. And
like, what happened?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, you know, once my mother and my mother and my grandmother got a hold of some of the records, they were like, you know, you didn't learn that language from us. We don't talk like that.
For the record, right?
For the record.
We don't talk like that. You know? Basically, that was Luke's fault. Luke just changed over with the Miami shit, the Miami element that he brought to the band. Mm-hmm. Just
completely changed everything.
Yes. But we love that Miami shit.
Exactly. Because I didn't know what a thong was until basically I started hanging out with Luke, you know, coming from California.
Shoot,
and
man.
Upstate New York, you know what I mean? We were wearing clothes. We got everybody's naked.
So clothes became a thing. Mm-hmm. Clothes was really popular until you got to Miami.
We got to Miami. All hell broke loose, baby.
I mean, what is there anything that you guys did that, I mean, shoot, not anything, because you guys did so much.
Like, what's your most memorable moment in Miami?
Most memorable moment in Miami. My first concert was at the Miami-Dade Youth Affair. Did the Miami Beach Convention Center. Well, one of the most memorable moments is when MTV Raps came to interview us, and we took them like right in the heart of the city on 15th Avenue. That was 15th Avenue and 62nd right over there in the hood. And that was cool, and that was really cool. But like a couple of my highlights were when we did the MTV Awards. And another highlight is, again, with Ice-T when I met Quincy Jones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I met the Kennedy daughters. Yeah, I met some pretty important people, you know, to our crew.
That's dope.
Yeah, I met some pretty important people.
Big.
I have a lot of memories and a lot of beautiful women, you know, down here in Miami back in the days.
Man, if you didn't, you did not. Yes.
Look how his face just lit up.
That is dope.
Yeah,
man.
It's a hell of a time back then, buddy.
I mean, tell us a little bit about when you finally had this thing with the First Amendment come up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys, you started off as a New York rapper. You get to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You're as nasty as you want to be.
Right.
All this shit starts popping off.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are making hit records that are played all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Then they drop the bomb about the First Amendment, explicit lyrics, and all those things. Like, how, you know, tell us a little bit about that moment in time.
Well, at first, to me, you know, because I'm the youngest one in the group, and I was, you know, I was doing a lot of other shit like partying and all of that. It became a hassle. I'm like, you know, just making records. But then, you know, you can look at people like Dolemite and all the comedians that were basically doing the same thing. But, you know, for some reason, we just got like really, really popular. And after I got over being harassed and thinking that everything was a hassle, I'm like, well, this shit is really changing my life. You know what I mean? I love it, you know? Let's all go to jail. Let's all go to jail. But unfortunately, you know, I was always the one that was getting away. I could kind of see the police coming and, you know, being from the street a little bit. You don't want to get arrested, even though I'm getting arrested for music. You still don't want to go to jail, so I would always get away. I would always get away. Like, fuck it, come to cops.
That's just so crazy to even say that, right?
Yeah, you don't get
arrested for
music, and you still don't want to have anything to do with the police.
Still stay away from
the police. That's right. That's right.
Shoot, I mean, like, how was Miami at that point? Miami was not the same Miami that we're at right now.
It was fun and dangerous at the same time.
Tell me a little bit about that. Like, what made it fun? What made it dangerous?
What made it fun was just, you know, to me, was a new place. It was a new place. The women were really beautiful. Women were all half naked. And it was, you know, it was just like, it was kind of a lawless game around here back then. You basically can do what you want. But then again, it can be kind of dangerous too. You know, all depends on what part of town you're hanging in. You know what I mean? I mean, we were packed jam right on 54th and 12th Avenue, so... you know, we could see things. It's like Raw was telling Raw, when we first moved down here on 35th and 17th is where I seen my first dead body.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yep. My first dead body. And seen the guy come up the stairs with the gun, go down and see the body on the ground. And when homicide come around, tell him I don't know anything. And that guy became my friend. And, you know, so.
Just for those that are listening, this is all made up.
that part we're
staying away from that. I mean, what's got your limitations?
Yeah. We're good. Give us all the exclusives.
Miami, you know, that was the dangerous parts of Miami. But you know, I mean, when I saw that, I was in the house with a beautiful girl. So we go out, look at the dead body, and we go back upstairs.
Hey.
Yeah.
Try to forget all about it, right?
What's it? Come downstairs.
Yeah, down there.
Let's
right
go. Make down history down upstairs. Right there,
and we would go back in the house and we were making music.
So, again, music and trouble. Yeah, going hand in hand.
I mean, shit, you couldn't avoid trouble in Miami back then. I mean, you could avoid it, but it was there.
Yeah,
it was there. Really. Hard to avoid. I mean, shit, temptation. A lot of temptation around. A lot of it.
I mean, just let's take a brief tour of Miami real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point in time, this is early 80s, late 80s?
Yes, early 80s.
The early 80s. So what would be 55th Street, Northwest, 12th Avenue, mm-hmm. was not the neighborhood to walk in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say that because it took me a couple of years after hanging out at the Pac Jam to actually
maneuver through all of that.
Through the back streets, you know what I mean?
I
feel. So I was like, oh, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to go to the apartment. I'm not going back over there fucking with those niggas over there. Stay my black ass right here where it's safe.
So that's that part. Another part of town would be, how was, you know, let's go to the beach.
Oh, the beach is super. Was a great thing. The beach was so relaxing and fun. I mean, back then, you know, you had that's when Ocean Avenue had the Jewish people that were sitting out on Ocean Avenue. So it was kind of cool. You just pin rods. Back in the days on South Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go over there and walk down Ocean Avenue, it's old people were out. They're sitting down in those hotels. There were apartments.
What?
Yeah.
So they were really just chilling.
Yeah, just chilling right there, yeah. It's like you see on Scarface when he comes to shoot the guy in the hotel. Those old people down there sitting down in those.
So that was normal.
Those hotels were like apartments. I think some of them were like hotels, but it was like people would be sitting down right there. It'd be no young people, you know.
And you guys disturbing the peace.
Nobody out eating around there like that. It's not nothing of like it is right now.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's around the world.
Yes. There was a lot of older people over there.
Man, it's nothing like anything now.
South Beach, yeah.
I mean, back then it was, people would ride out to the beach and just keep their cars open.
Yeah.
You know, booming all over the place, basing all over.
Go out there and get laid.
Went to the beach with the girl. You know,
get laid.
That was the spot.
That was the spot.
It was pin rides and it was always cameos. Yeah. And with the mansion, the grand, when Madonna had it, Prince had it, the grand, that was always there. So yeah, some spots. It was spots on the beach.
Got you reminiscing, huh?
Man. Yeah, it was cool.
How about Coconut Grove?
Coconut Grove was cool. Coconut Grove, actually, Luke had a house in the Grove, so he used to kind of hang out in the Grove a lot.
All right.
Just hang out in the Grove a lot.
Not bad. The Grove is nothing like the Grove today.
No,
Grove got shut down. They even tore down Fat Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious, moving a little bit fast forward now. What's on your playlist now? What kind of music do you listen to now?
Amy Winehouse. Just listening to some Amy Winehouse, some Metallica. As I'm getting older, people are turning me on to like Coltrane and Count Basie, and I'm getting patience for jazz like Miles Davis. So you know, I'm into all genres.
Okay.
Trust me, old R&B, but you know, I like my rap thing. Just the other day, I was listening to a lot of Miami bass that I haven't heard in years, and it was sounding so refreshing. Oh my God, remember this?
All hype.
What are some of the rappers that you listen to?
Right now, I'm on this guy, Young Gunna. I think he signed with who's Young Gunna signed with? Young Thug, I believe. Guy Pitt, some unknown guys. I'm kind of vibing with right now. But like in the mainstream, I go for like Kendrick Lamar, Drake. Go for some Jay-Z, J. Cole. Go with the Migos. I fuck with the Migos a little bit. I'm all over the place, though.
Good taste. Yeah. Nice variety there.
Alternative rock, you know, some pop. I was just listening to Lady Gaga. I listened to a full one of Lady Gaga's albums, and I kind of like it. I can kind of hear a little similarity. It has like a little bass. I like Lady Gaga's kind of cool.
She get down with the crew. Yeah.
And of course, I like my Miami rappers like Rick Ross, Flo Rida, Pitbull. I'm listening to a lot of YD right now. I'm around.
When you were coming up, it was tough for an artist to come out, you know, against, you know, they have to compare themselves to what Two Live Crew is doing at the time. I mean, for Pitbull to come out, it was way after, you guys already, the wave came by and went, and Pitbull started off a certain way and his music changed.
Yeah.
It was super Miami, really Miami music, and all he did was, you know, he had that Damn It Man and all these songs, but then he had to, you know, become more pop friendly in a way.
Yeah.
What were some of the artists coming up that you remember in your like while you were in your highlight?
Well, of course, Poison Clan. Poison Clan was always there. Big shouts out to JT Money.
That's right.
Then we always had like Magic Mike, then we had artists around here like Disco Rick, Clay D, Gucci Crew, of course. DJ Laz.
Yes.
Yeah, DJ Laz. I mean, I supported all of the Miami bass because I felt like, okay, these guys are like falling in line with like what we're doing, so I was like really supportive of all of that. But then back then at the same time too, you know, it was on Eric B and Rakim, Big Daddy
That's
Kane. You had to have them all.
That's right.
We had to have them on. Since Mr. Mix was a DJ and we had the record pool right around the corner, every week we would get a lot of records. So I could always sit there and flip through all of the 12 inches and just be up on everything that was out.
That is so dope, man. Because, you know, there was a big divide.
Yeah.
In a sense where people were like, all you do is listen to booty music. Then you probably not listening to hip hop.
Yeah.
But we were really listening to both. But it wasn't just blatantly out there, so it's refreshing to hear you mentioned Eric Sermon and all that.
Oh,
so,
man.
And EPMD.
Yes.
Like when all that's dropping, and, you know, I didn't know you were from New York.
Yeah, from Rochester, New York originally.
Yeah,
because, you know, I used to listen to Run DMC and LL Cool J, and, you know, listening to them and then turn around and make a Two Live Crew record, I was on tour with them. So that was like the highlight too. I'm like, damn, I'm just on tour. Just did a show with LL Cool J. Just did a show with Run DMC. And one time we were in Mississippi, I'll never forget it. Mr. Mix would cut Peter Piper in the show, and Run came out of the dressing room and took the record off of the turntable and threw it out in the audience. I thought that shit was the dopest shit ever. Fucking taking the record, throwing it out in the audience. And then it was like a little scuffle. Cause you know Luke with the big mouth and everything. Pussy motherfucker scuffle. You know, it was like a little scuffle, but I'm loving this shit.
Popcorn.
Pussy motherfucker. Yeah, you know Luke Miami. Pussy motherfucker.
That shit is funny, man. And,
love it.
Yo, I would have. If I would have got that record, I would have been fighting.
Me and boy.
Shout out to DJ Raw.
Shout out to DJ Raw and making an impact on today's interview.
Creeping.
Oh man, I mean, this. Should I tell him?
Uh oh. Is this the moment? I think so. We're almost at halftime. So.
We usually do this to everybody.
Uh oh. They haven't told you about this?
So this is what we do on the show. As soon as anyone that raps in any way, shape, or form,
I got a freestyle. Or something.
Give me 16, bro. Off the top. Oh, anything. You don't got. You can do a cappella.
Oh my god. Oh, my god. You see, I wasn't born down here. I wasn't raised around here. But this city, it showed me so much love. I moved my mama down here. Over 30 years, I'm still repping. I'm still throwing them up for my section. I love my city because they made me famous. Now look at me, boy, I'm a legend. Two Live Crew, that's the legacy. Now let that be the reason. I'm in my A to my dying day. And no, boy, I ain't never leaving. But if I die, take my ashes to the beach and spread me across the water. And if I have another baby girl, damn right, I'm a name of Florida. That's not a freestyle, but I'm glad I wrote that.
Thank you. Dope.
Damn, I got a rap. I need to get back into my rap shit.
If I ever have a daughter, I'm naming her Florida for real. Yeah,
fucking, that was fun. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Shit. I got 16. Oh, man.
Yes,
that's right. Hey, I'll tell you, this is, I didn't expect you to jump on, but I'm glad you did.
Oh, man, that's what we do, man. It's Miami. I love this fucking city, man.
Hell yeah. I mean, like, there's so much more to this city. And you taking Miami and taking it with you, putting it on your shoulders.
Yeah.
At a time where people weren't really up on Miami anything, you know, except UM. That's as far as it went. You know, and I can imagine it was just as hype. So, what are some of the reactions you got when you initially started touring? People first got
everybody. Got to hear about you. Everybody's Miami. You know, when we were going places, there were people in the audience with you in gear. And everywhere, you know, Miami is that town. So everywhere you go, and like any major city, you know, you're gonna have somebody in there from Miami.
From Miami, yeah.
That's right. I'm wearing orange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're way in Canada, and somebody pops out of the audience. You're from Miami. I'm from Coconut Grove.
Kendall. I love it.
Miami represents wherever they go.
That's a fact. For real.
They represent wherever they go, buddy. Wherever they go. If I'm somewhere and somebody's from Miami, you best believe they're going to come and say something to me. They're going to come and say something to us. You know what I mean?
So, did you have beef with anyone?
He seems like a cool dude.
You ain't gonna have no problems.
I wasn't really having no beef with nobody. I mean, I couldn't have beef with anybody on the West Coast because I gotta go out there. You know what I'm saying? I got people out there, so.
He had 99 problems, but you know, no beef with nobody.
That was, you know, that's Luke shit, you know. Luke on that beef. That's Luke, but all that.
Luke seems like the troublemaker, huh?
Yeah, I'm a killer ball, this motherfucker. I'm a cowboy, nigga. Oh, that's funny. Fuck the police.
So when that whole shit happened with you going to court and everything, did that really fuck with your ambitions for the music?
It kind of gave us inspiration. It gave us a little inspiration, you know what I mean? And I think when all of that shit was going on, Luke popped back with the Band in the USA album, which I hated.
Really?
Yeah, I hated that record.
Does he know that, or is he going to find out through this?
Man, I'm glad we came back with Pop the Coochie, because that was cool. That's my favorite.
I'm sure it was.
That's my favorite crew record, Pop That Coochie.
Is it?
Yeah, what of all the records you've done,
that's my favorite one, Pop That Coochie. Probably Now, Come On Baby. It's Come On Baby Now.
Oh, so man, yeah, bro.
I will never hear these songs the same again, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, man, that was the jam. Yeah. But you know what, shout out to my homie Docs. One of his favorite records is Cooling of all time.
Cooling? Yeah,
Cooling is one of his favorite records of all time.
Wow, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
So, and another shout out, we're missing one of our co-hosts, Will. He's a photographer. He's probably out, and he's a firefighter, so he's probably saving lives and taking pictures. God knows what.
Shout out to Will.
Shout out to Will.
He's a firefighter, yeah. Thank you for out there taking care of us, man.
That's what's
for real.
That's what's up. And I mean, like,
all of the first responders out here in Miami, y'all got a tough job.
Yeah. Fact. If shit goes down, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of people. I think Miami's one of those places where everyone will just jump in. You know what I mean? Raw, you want to jump in this, man?
Yeah, man. I got a
question. So quiet today.
Yeah. Like, Raw, man, you ain't not the camera guy, dude.
No. It's just I'm taking it all in. But I got a question for you, Marquise.
Yes, sir.
Because I remember at Jack the Rapper, there was a scuffle that went on. And Jack the Rapper with the West Coast or something was going on.
That was more, I was out of the group. I left the group by then, but okay. I was at that convention. I saw everything running around in there.
Mm-hmm. So for those that are unaware, Jack the Rapper is a convention.
Yeah. I was cool with all the rappers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that we met Public Enemy was through like a little scuffle backstage. Okay. And then Professor Griff came down here and was my label mate. Okay. So me and Flavor Flav are cool. It always
was a,
well, with us, you know, I mean, we were kind of looked down upon. We were outside group because we weren't from New York and New York was running shit at that time. So we would always have problems with when it comes to Showtime if we're with the New York act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. New York on, it's like, y'all, we're going to give Two Live Crew 15 minutes. We're going to let them open up. They can't put up the backdrop. They got to keep the curtain closed. They got to keep the stage clear. And they would do that, and then they'd put us on, and we'll blow their ass out. Next couple of shows, we're going to let Two Live Crew headline in Jacksonville. You know, all that old fuck shit, but you know.
Right.
And I'm glad that, you know, Luke was there. Luke served his purpose for those times because he would kind of speak up, you know, mm-hmm. speak up and, you know, and, you know, there it is.
So I wasn't in, you know, I'm kind of laid back, you know, I ain't down and loud talking and all that old shit, but you know, it's, you know, Luke, that was Luke's thing, so he did that, you know. He did that.
Jack the Rapper was
so a lot of
music convention that used to go down, what, Tampa, Orlando?
Atlanta. My first one was in Atlanta. It was in Orlando. Jack the Rapper is from Orlando. So it was in Orlando, yeah. I remember that.
Okay.
I remember that.
Sure, man. Jack the Rapper. Yeah. That's way back.
So the rapper got jacked.
Whatever happened to Jack? He had a magazine. He was just big in the, like, radio, wasn't he?
Right.
Big doing radio stuff. Yeah. Jack Gibson. Yeah. All the cute daughters. Cute daughters and cute family.
Well, I want to add something to the interview because, you know, it's being recorded and everyone is seeing. DJ Raw and the KOP, we evolved. Because you guys were our inspiration.
Right.
You know, we were making money, we were doing our thing, but we didn't know what the hell we were gonna do with our money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I told the story, we came up on some DJ and DJ Eon, he used to spin bass. And
yeah.
So he started spinning and we grabbed the mic and he set it off and right there, we're gonna be just like the Two Live Crew. We're gonna go out there and do it. We're gonna start doing it. We're gonna take over. And I started telling everybody, we're gonna do a record. We're gonna do a record. You know? And we didn't know we were doing hip hop. We were just rapping, man.
I see this guy everywhere.
We didn't know what we were doing. We just knew we were gonna do it.
Yeah.
And people were saying, man, you crazy, man. You ain't gonna kick down a little record. Man, how you gonna be like the Two Live Crew, man? How you gonna get through that? I said, I don't know, but I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, you did it. Yeah, you did it. You had the boogie bus, Jack, with the radio station over there. Yeah, the boogie bus, boy.
But you guys were really
big in the streets, Jack.
Yeah, big
in the streets.
You changed our lives, you know? Yeah. Really, you changed everybody's life in Miami the way it is. You changed our life, and that's why it's important to record our history. Like I was telling you, thing that New York has on us is they cultivate. They store and they keep their history, they keep it together over there. They keep lifting, you know. That's why we could go back as far back and say Rakim. We were way back, you know, Charlie Chase, African Mamada Kuhar. We could go that far. But we need to focus in Miami, on preserving our hip hop, our rap, our music scene in general. We need to preserve that. And that's our responsibility. Because the young kids, they just moving, you know, and it's not like before, back in the days when you got in the game, you would last a few years. Like, you see yourself 4, 5, 6 years, 7 years doing it. Now, it's 2, tops 3, mm-hmm. and you're forgotten. So there's really like no history to preserve in 2 or 3 years. Ain't no way you're gonna become a legend in 2 or 3 years. You know, you're just gonna come in and go out and then you're forgotten. But brothers like me and you, they sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice, man, because you changed the game. You know, after you guys came out, we were seeing how you were cursing. Man, mother, shit, we I was looking for curse words, man.
I said them all. All you had to do is listen to me. You might have found some new ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You were looking for stuff to say. You know what
over 375 cuss words on Nasty As We Want to Be.
That's what's up. What?
Hold on, say that one more time.
A pastor pulled my coattail. And said, you know, there's over 375 cuss words on Nasty As We Want to Be. I want to pray for you right now, brother.
Good Lord, baby Jesus.
Ooh. You know, I wasn't the only one writing that shit.
Did you write all your raps?
Yes, I did, yeah.
All those curse words were my What's your favorite rap?
My favorite Two Live Crew song?
What was your favorite verse in the whole Two Live Crew shit? I mean, it's gotta be a verse that you just every time we kick
it. I would say probably the verses on the one that's Pop That Coochie. That's like a real Miami bass record right there.
Yeah, I got some videos from you guys. They looped it. I gave me I don't know what you call them, like these little things you look in inside of.
Oh, the 3D glasses.
Right, yeah. 3D glasses, you hold them up, but he also gave me some video.
Oh, those little things you look in there and see the women in there.
Right, right,
you
yeah.
You turn it and the top would go down. Right. Panties are gonna,
And over in China or Thailand, you guys got off out there, y'all want to stay.
That's Luke that did that. I've been did that though. Luke did that. Luke did it and got caught. He just like to get caught and get on publicity.
Some videos. I thought they were music videos.
But what happened? What were we talking about here? Like, what are we talking about?
Phil, listen.
Live stuff going on. Live, girls off the audience up on stage. So I got a video in, and we getting down. We watching this.
I'm backstage.
It's a regular show, right?
Yeah, I'm backstage with the music crew. You know, where you can hide a little bit.
You guys definitely changed the game.
I mean, absolutely. Like, I can't even begin to even think of my younger years, bro, without even thinking of Grand Theft Auto, like people stealing Mustangs, Monte Carlos, and then
we was on that too. We was on Grand Theft Auto too.
We were
in the game.
But I mean, like, I'm thinking as a kid, it was just, you know, these, I'm talking about real GTA, like Grand Theft Auto. Was a crime in Miami that I was super happy about. Everyone loves stealing cars. Everyone loves stealing the Alpine radios.
That's right.
This
first game was in Miami,
And then after that, you have that point in time in Miami was, you know, 15-inch speakers in every whip. You know, Coconut Grove, the beach.
You gotta have the bump. That's where it came
from. That's that thump, that deep bass.
At that time, did you ever imagine how influential your music and your movement would be to the point where it's still withstanding?
Sometimes
time?
I'm still like shocked. You know, I'm still shocked at it because I never was into it for like the celebrityism of the shit. You know what I mean? And I'm not that kind of guy. I'm like throwing it to you. Fuck, I know how to be myself. But, hey, it's great. It's great. I'm just really now at like 40, going into my late 40s, really like really, you know, sucking all this shit in, you know, grasping like really what it is.
But oh, shit.
Hey, really, you know, think that y'all think it is, but you know, hey.
You don't see it that way, do you?
It's been like a hell of a journey, and it's real struggle with this shit, you know, too.
The industry is much more different than it was when the industry started. I think that's what makes this, at least for me, what makes it so interesting, that we're talking about a music industry before the internet. We're talking about a music industry before street teams. You know what I mean? This is as organic as it got. You guys, I saw 2 Live Crew on The Box. Music, television, you control.
Yeah.
And that was because someone called
and voted.
And your number would come out saying beep. A little thing would come out
that
and say,
"That was me. That was me.
Your code.
I wanted to see myself on TV."
Yo, and it was probably you and everyone I knew. You saw the 068, which was whatever 2 Live Crew song it was, and yo, it was every single song that you guys pumped out.
Damn right.
It was always playing.
The box is right on the beach.
Right on the beach. Yeah, it was.
Yep.
And I mean, The Box, you know, unfortunately got bought out
by MTV.
MTV got shut down.
Yeah, shut us down. That's when they sent us Fat Freddie and Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I mean, and that's the thing. Right now, we can kind of bring it back. We have YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we could all start a channel and bring that shit back. You know what I mean? But it's so much different, man. It was a different world altogether. And that's the thing that, at least for me, it's really dope to have you here and just talk about that point in time. You know what I mean? Now that we've spoken about that point in time,
I'm grateful to be here and made it through that point in time.
And after if you went on tour and you got that crazy, I'm grateful you're here too.
I'm here. I mean, a lot of us ain't me.
Yeah, in fact, you toured with Tupac, actually, right?
K.
came out of Luke's book that you guys ran into Pac a few times.
That's probably Luke. I remember Pac. I met Pac occasions by myself. Yeah. So I did remember seeing him on a couple of Digital Underground shows.
Yeah.
And sitting right on stage, just be watching right on the side of stage. And I ran into him outside. We were doing the House of Blues, and we were standing right next to it on Sunset in Los Angeles, and he rolled up in a Cherokee and turned around, and I'm right there reading the LA Weekly. Came and got out the car, and we was talking.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he wanted me to ride with him, but, you know, I was kind of scared. That's Tupac. He might get shot. I'll stay right here. But me and Pac's brother was actually roommates. Now that you asked about it, Mo Preem.
Oh, get out of here.
Mo Preem. Yeah. Pac was real cool. Before he shake your hand, he'd give you a hug. He was hugging. You know, a couple more times I met him, that's what he do, hug you. Hug you, you know.
That's the kind of stuff you don't hear about.
Yeah.
Like, you hear some dude want to hug you, really cool. You're like, yo, chill.
Pac, like, really was cool. You know, he give you a hug, dap you up. What's up, world? Oh, that was really cool. Inviting. He was like, you know.
That's really dope.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Are you doing music now?
Yeah, I got one song I did, Shots to Boy Dirty. I'm supposed to be shooting a video with him. He's an artist up in, he's one of Chinaman's guys, lives up in Tampa. He has an album called Applied Pressure. Got a feature with him. Just got some tracks. Might have a January release around the first quarter of next year, yeah.
You wanna possibly tell us who it is?
Come on, give me some.
No, it's me. It's me right now. But I might have a situation to where it's if I want to do it or not.
Okay.
I could have a release by but people out there, everybody out there, they'll look to get on the internet and grab some music from me. Probably around the first quarter next year.
Well,
Brother Marquise.
For anyone that wants to grab anything from you now, any music or whatnot, where can
you just hit me on Brother Marquise of Two Live Crew on IG.
Okay.
And I can bless you with some verses or something. Anything Miami I'm doing. That's what me and Raw was talking about right now. Is like Miami shit. You know, we just need to do some Miami shit.
I agree. I totally agree.
Totally agree. She wants that exclusive.
And then we take it and, you know, take it and put a relevant twist on it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all up tempo, you know.
You've been rhyming for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprising myself. I'm still pretty good.
My voice still got it?
Voice still sound good.
That's what's up. Are you not? You trying to bring back that Miami sound?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring back the Miami sound too, but if I possibly can, because you got to think, you know, me right now, I'm like dog years for a rapper. You know what I'm saying? This is dog years. You know, that shit's microwaved out here now. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm quite sure I'll get some love down here in Miami, but if it goes well, you know, I like so much music, you know, it's a shit, man. It's a hell of a variety of music out there right now to tap into.
And I can imagine you've grown as an artist.
Yeah, I really like electronic dance music, you know. I like that kind of shit.
It's dope.
Yeah.
Shoot, you can spit some.
Right now, yeah. I'm looking for some electronic producers out there.
Okay. I mean,
EDM guys.
You know who you would sound dope with? Otto von Skyrash.
Otto von Skyrash.
Yo, he's dope. I'll put you on.
He's from Miami.
He is.
You talking about Otto has the goals in his mouth sometimes? Yeah, with the thing with the fur on and all of that.
Yes.
What do I call that guy?
Otto
Van Skotskin. I call him something else. I
know Otto. Man, Otto's
Otto.
Dope.
I know Otto. Yeah, I know Otto. I've been to a couple of his shows. As a matter of fact, me and him were talking about doing something, but we never came all the way together.
So you heard it here first, Marquise and Otto.
Otto von Skotskin. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He hangs out with Nasty, the promoter Nasty dude with the deep voice.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's who I met him with. Yeah, I know. Big shouts out to that guy. He's been doing it for a long time.
Yes, he has. Otto's been putting in work, yo.
Yeah, he has nice videos. He's real entertaining.
Yo, entertaining is an understatement.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, man, that's something I was thinking about. You know, you making new music, it would be dope to just hear you on just new beats. You know, just see you just make an appearance. You know what I mean? So that's what I want to know. What you've been up to? If you have dropped some
music,
call
him. I can call him up. I'll hold him up. It'd be good to talk to him.
That's what's up. Yeah. That's what's up.
So usually we'd like to give a little bit of advice to maybe any artist out there if they're trying to do something. What would be your advice to them, be it professional or personal?
Professional, I would. If I had a chance to do it all over again, I would go to. I would take up entertainment law. I would take up production, music classes. And just really study the game, just really study the craft. Yeah, just get prepared for the opportunities that might come your way. That's right, you're right. Just make myself prepared and superly educated on the business side of everything. And let the music be secondary. You know what I mean? But you know,
especially now that the business has changed so much.
Yes.
You know, everything's digital, digital spins, you know, your outfits, everything's digital.
Everything's right there for you right now.
Yeah, man, everything's right there, but it's like everything else, hustle. Hustle's what's gonna get you there, man. So just piggybacking a little bit off of what she asked, is there anyone that you wanna give a quick shout out to that is probably you bringing up with you, that is your mentor or anything like that you wanna shout out to? Anyone you're working with?
No, I don't have any. My guys were out of town, but they stopped. My guys are out of town, but I would like to give a big shout out to Dirty Boy, JT Money, Mr. Mix, Two Live Crew, Luke. I'd like to say congratulations on that. Luke got a TV series on Starz that just aired, all Liberty right. City Warriors. Well, yeah. he's on some of the episodes, I guess. But yeah, congratulations for that. You know, just Miami, man. It's a lot of love out here, man. It's tropical love, this warm weather out here, you know. These hot ass raindrops.
Yes, we are actually broadcasting live from the beautiful Briggles Station.
That's right.
So shout out to Miami
at big
Media
buildings
School,
and everything.
Miami Underground Radio.
It's like I'm in Manhattan somewhere.
It is. It's like a mini Manhattan.
I mean, for the most part, I think that it's truly a blessing to have you on the show, man. Thank you for coming out.
I remember none of this shit was here.
None of it.
Yeah.
All this shit. Like,
thank y'all for having me, man. I didn't mean to talk y'all to death.
No. Matter of fact,
I just felt really comfortable with y'all.
Glad you do. Sure.
I know Raw. I know my guy right here.
Shout out to Raw.
Shout out to DJ Raw. I felt really comfortable just down there.
Well, feel free to come back anytime, especially when you have those releases of those exclusives.
I can come back. Debut some joints.
I'm down for it, man. I'm with it.
No. All right, cool. I'm gonna send you something too.
I'm so excited.
Yes, man. Yes. I mean, I want you to keep spitting rhymes, but you can't do that. I mean, I see that glare in your eye. You're ready, man.
Brother Marquise, please tell everybody once again where they can find your music, where they can find you on social media.
Brother Marquise of Two Live Crew on Instagram, and Mark Demetrius on Facebook.
Okay, and DJ Raw, where can we find you, and where can we find those yummy, yummy organic edibles?
DJ Raw 305 is Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Hell yeah. Yo, for those that don't know, Raw is chef extraordinaire. I mean, like, Raw, you know I'm a chef, right?
Shout out to Najiba, by the way.
Let me get down with you in the kitchen.
We can make that happen.
Boy,
uh-oh.
Raw is on some monstrous Dr. Frankenstein edibles.
Yeah.
It's their streak here, man.
No, I'm killing it.
We're going to have to do a show on just the company itself. Yeah. Maybe do some behind the scenes, take us in the kitchen.
You see, that's behind the scenes.
I got blessed, you know, cooking. Because like I told you guys, I went vegan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm living a holistic path, you know, I'm on that path, and that's how I came across with the cookies, Dr. Baba Pearson and Dr. Galloway from Lauderhill Mall. I was making the regular conventional brownies and cookies and stuff like that, and Baba Pearson was the one that told me, look, you know, if you're going to make this as medicinal, make it where it's win-win for our people. You know, don't give them a Tylenol that takes away the headache and hurts their liver. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. That's the same, you know. So they gave me a few recipes and I went to town and it's like, I can't bake enough.
Say loud, say it
Keep them coming, keep them coming.
Listen, man, I got some awesome doctors backing me up, you know, got... Imagine that raw. I used to, you know, used to sell crack, man. I used to bake. I got cancer patients, you know, that I'm helping out with their pain.
Congratulations, man.
You know, that's, for me, that's like.
You're impacting people's lives, man, helping save lives. That's big.
From where I was at, I was killing my people, you know, and now I'm helping them, you know, with personal development, their diets, stuff like that. Now I'm helping the people, you know. And I would never sell narcotics again. I'm you know, never. I won't do it, you know.
You know what, though? That's a great part of what we love about this show and about the realness that we get from all of the people that come out here is that at the end of the day, we're all human. We all make mistakes, you know, whether we're a celebrity, whether we're regular people. Like, it's just ups and downs and part of life. But definitely recognizing that and being able to make a change in yourself and to be able to make a change in our community, it definitely means a lot. So once again, we're so blessed to have the both of you on here, and you guys are welcome here absolutely anytime. I gotta give a quick shout out before we go to the Bearded Villains Miami chapter for hosting their first annual blood drive and pet adoption over the weekend. Shout out to everybody who came out for that. It was a really, really good turnout, and I'm looking forward to all of the events coming up from Bearded Villains. Make sure you guys follow them at Bearded Villains Miami on the gram. Also, shout out to DBD. We celebrated the Freedom Brunch over the weekend. DBD. Another victory for us in the medical marijuana community. So shout out to everybody doing their thing and playing their part for that. Make sure you guys check us out at Secret Sundays Brunch every Sunday. We got a lot of special guests, giveaways, raffles, all kinds of goodies. So make sure you guys come through. And of course, tonight is Monday night. So we got Take Flight Mondays at G5. So we'll be out there. You already know how DBD gets down. Make sure you guys follow them at DBD_Inc. on the gram. If you missed any of the information for Brother Marquise, DJ Ra, or any of the previous guests on our show, feel free to hit us up on the gram. For me, it's at 305_Brownie.
For me, it's
What is it? What is it?
Hold on. Hey, did you get any puppies?
You know, I almost did, but no, I can't handle that responsibility, and that's all part of growing up is taking accountability for all of your actions, you not doing the puppy thing.
So back to the goodbye here.
Where can they find you on social media?
Well, listen, you guys can find me on social media, 305 Magazine, at 305 Magazine, everything social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Vevo.
And we're on Spotify. Audible.
Where do you find 305 Radio? Pick somewhere and that's where it is. You can find us on iTunes, which is, you know, I love saying that. You can find us iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify. We're all over Spotify. I mean, you could, wherever you could listen to any kind of podcast.
So no excuses. Make sure you guys go follow us at 305 Radio on the gram or at 305 Magazine. Yeah. And you guys can catch us here on your number one underground station, MiamiUndergroundRadio.com, every Monday.
Every Monday.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you, Brother Marquise, for coming out, man.
Guys, thank you so very much. Thank you. We love you. Thank you for all the love. Thank you for all the support. Make sure you guys tune in and follow us.